We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Minority leader, we know that there's a kind of very toxic political climate associated with the failure of 38 studios in Rhode Island. Taking that into account, do you expect a subsidy for the Superman building in downtown Providence to emerge in the final weeks of the legislative session? And if so, in what fashion?
Well, I am a big supporter in general of the historic tax credit program with appropriate caps. So if that program gets reenacted and the Superman building wants to apply like any other applicant for one piece of that within the cap, that I don't have a problem with. But if you're talking about money beyond that, special money allocated to the Superman building, I have a real issue with that because from what I can see, basically the owner of the property made a bad business deal. Now they're trying to get the taxpayers of the state to bail them out. That's just incorrect. I can't support that. It's ridiculous.
We hear you saying that you're opposed to that, but do you expect that to emerge in the budget or in some other fashion?
I think there's no question that the speaker would like to see that in the budget. Whether he can work it into the budget, whether he can get the votes to pass it, I can tell you I won't be supporting it, but there's not enough Republicans to block the budget by ourselves, so we'll see what the Democrats do.
What are a few of the other key things that you're keeping an eye on in terms of the budget, and when do you expect it to emerge?
You know, the big issues of the budget, 38 studios funding, I think that's the main thing holding it up right now. There may be some issues about the Superman funding, and I think the issues of restructuring EDC, there might be some debate going on where the House and Senate leadership differ, and they may just say, okay, we're going to put this in a budget, and then you guys deal with it in the Senate. But I think it's all about the 38 studios funding.
Let's go to Scott.
Well, let's go back and forth on that a little bit. What happens, do you think, if we default?
First of all, we are not defaulting. That's the common, I'll use that term, but it's not a default. We don't have an obligation to pay, therefore it's not a default. We have a moral obligation. No, but that's important, understand?
I understand.
What happens is the insurance company, as I understand it from the hearing, the insurance company is a must pay. They don't have a right to decline coverage, which was interesting. I learned that for the first time, but they don't have a right to decline coverage. So they will pay. They will then subrogate into the shoes of the bondholders, and then they can look to see if they can file a lawsuit. The problem is, again, we don't have a legal obligation to pay, so they'd have to find some crazy legal theory to come after the state. I assume they will try. So it'll be litigation, and what will come of that, I don't know. The real issue is, what does it do to our credit rating and our cost of borrowing going forward? The House leadership has not held any real hearings on the issue. They had a sham of a hearing last Thursday where the guy testified that basically he was just giving his speculative opinion and 20 other people would say 20 different things. So I didn't find that particularly helpful. I've been doing my own research on this and it's still a work in progress. But from what I am seeing, I'm not concerned about the state. There'll be an impact. Don't get me wrong. No matter what we do, the state's going to have to pony up some money in some fashion. But I think right now, from what I've seen, it's going to be more expensive to pay the bonds off than not. That's my opinion at the moment.
Gambling is Rhode Island's third largest source of state revenue, and that revenue is supposed to climb a little bit when Twin River adds table games. But the consensus seems to be that Rhode Island will take a big hit when casinos open in Massachusetts. Do you think Rhode Island is doing enough to prepare for that moment? And if not, what else should it be doing?
You know, I do. I mean, I remember during the casino debate last year, there was projections made as to what would happen if Massachusetts opened slot parlors here, casinos there, et cetera, et cetera. I can't question I don't have the institutional knowledge to question the validity of those projections, but clearly we have projections as to how much money Rhode Island will lose. The only way we can protect that is to let Twin River run its operations as best as possible, like any other business, private business, attract customers and do what they do best.
Just wondering, you know, the Republican Party, you're at a very low point in Rhode Island. I'm sure you're going to be out recruiting some candidates for legislature, but on a more existential level, why do you think it is that New England, there's not one Republican member of the U.S. House? What happened?
I think two things have happened. I think at the national level, and I stress at the national level, the Republican Party has become more conservative over the years, not as dramatic as some people say, but more conservative. I think the Democratic Party has done a very good job, particularly in this area of the country, portraying it as more conservative than it is. I also think that there's a lot of people in this state, particularly in Rhode Island, that if you talk to them, they run for office as Democrats, colleagues of mine in the Assembly, they're basically on the same page as me on most issues. But they run as Democrats because they think it's an easier way to win. So it's a question of, I don't want to say rebranding because that sounds trite, but I know when I talk to my constituents, more often than not, they agree with me. Otherwise, I wouldn't get elected. But most of them are not Republicans. It's a matter of getting people to be what they are. You know?
Well, you know, you say that, but we turn around once again talking about whether or not you can get pregnant from a rape. I mean, that makes a lot of people just think that the party is outside the mainstream.
Well, the problem is, I don't know the specific instance you're talking about. I'm sure there's some idiot out there that said that. The problem is that the press, not to be personal here, but the press will like to pick up on something like that, but we don't spend too much time talking about the Democratic congressman who's worried about Guam sinking if the Air Force had too many planes on the island. there are crazy fools in both political parties. Yes, it's a question of what gets portrayed to the average voter as being indicative of the party.
We're talking here with House Minority Leader Brian Newberry. To follow up on Scott's point, the new chairman of the Republican Party in Rhode Island, Mark Smiley, seems to be injecting some fresh energy. But as we know, Republicans have really struggled to increase their legislative representation. Your party holds just 11 of 113 seats in the General Assembly. Why will it be any different going forward?
You know, that's a, I don't know how much time we have to discuss it, but I can give you a brief answer to that. It's a little bit misleading. You have to look at the last several election cycles, 2006, 2008, 2012, for national reasons, were really disastrous for the Republicans in Rhode Island. You had the Lincoln-Chafee White House race after the Bush debacle with Katrina and all that. 08 and 12, you had Obama on the ballot. 2010 was a very good atmosphere for Republicans. We picked up a number of seats in the General Assembly, but in my opinion, and I was just a freshman at the time, the party was not prepared to take advantage of the situation, did a poor job overall recruiting candidates and funding them. 2012, we corrected that problem, but we ran into the Obama case again. My hope is we take the 2010 atmosphere and a 2012 effort in 2014. I think we'll see better results.
Is there any hope for the master lever? I know some people, mainly moderate party founder Ken Block, seems to point to that issue as a big problem for the lower ballots. Is that something that you agree with or not really?
Oh, no, I think the master lever should go, and I think there's a lot of good reasons it should go that have nothing to do with partisan politics. I don't think the effect on partisan races will be as large as some people played out to be. I also think that most people are in agreement it should go. At this point, it's only being held up, as I understand it, by the Speaker of the House. If you pull the Democrats in the House, they say, yeah, get rid of it. I don't think you'll see it go this session, but I think, put it this way, I think that when you see a new Speaker of the House and maybe a new Senate President, I don't know what her position is. Down the road, it's inevitable. It will go. It's just not happening just yet.
Cranston Mayor Alan Fung is expected to be the Republican candidate for governor next year. How do you see him matching up against each of the prospective Democrats, starting with Governor Lincoln Chafee and also including State Treasurer Gina Raimondo and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras?
I think each matchup's obviously different. I think that, you know, Lincoln Chafee, I think, is going to have a tough reelection regardless if it's a one-on-one matchup, as long as he's got a good opponent running against him. But you can't count out somebody with the name Chafee. I think Alan, by the way, would be a great candidate if he runs. I assume he will run, but I don't know for certain. It's odd. He and Mayor Taveras are obviously good friends, as we know, but they also represent very different constituencies at this point. So I think that'll be a question of, you know, mayors of Providence have a hard time getting elected statewide, regardless of who they are. That could be a problem for Mayor Taveras. I think against Gina Raimondo, you'll have an interesting dynamic where a lot of people who might be inclined to vote Republican might be attracted to vote for Gina Raimondo, but at the same time, a lot of the Democratic base will not. So each matchup's unique. I think Alan can win against any of the three. If you ask me to rate his chances against each one, I don't want to. That's too speculative at this point. I think he can beat all three. I think he can lose to all three. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm wondering, what's your critique of Governor Chafee? Some people will say that he's been a pretty prudent governor. He's balanced the budget. Unemployment is down. It's not down as low as we'd like it. We don't have a supplemental budget this year. He's hired pretty good people. The government seems to be managed better. Don't have to take a day off to get your license renewed at DMV. What are your major critiques of him?
You know, I think, and my Republican folks not be happy to hear me say this, I think the one thing that I will say Governor Chafee's done well, I think the management of the bureaucracy, I think he's done very well. I think that saved the state some money. However, I think he has a tendency to pick political fights that make no sense. And I think it detracts.
Such as?
So many things. The Christmas tree, the guy who killed the
murder guy. Did he really pick a fight on the Christmas tree, or is that just an idiot talk radio thing?
Well, he didn't have to. He went out the second time. Remember, he went out the second year after, and he kind of ducked out and avoided the speech and all that. I mean, it gets fanned by talk radio. I get that. But the Christmas tree, the death penalty issue with the guy in Woonsocket who murdered the gentleman at the bank.
The Plouffe case.
Yeah, and he picks fights he doesn't need to pick, and that gets people inflamed. And you lose political capital as a politician when you fight issues that you don't need to fight. And then, of course, on the tax issue, I always thought his plan from, was it 2 years ago now, to up the sales tax? I thought that was insane. I thought it was terrible.
What do you mean to extend? Well, wait a minute. RIPAC for years and years. Shouldn't the state have a real conversation about that?
We should.
We lower the top level and extend the bottom.
We should. In fact, I co-sponsored a bill by Representative Edwards that would have done that by reducing the overall tax tremendously. Governor Chafee wanted to expand it and reduce it by, I think, a half a percentage point. That was negligible. The conversation we should have, his plan, I thought, was nuts, and that was the issue. So he comes across as a guy who will, he sees himself as a fiscal conservative because he always wants to balance the budget. But if you're going to balance the budget by raising taxes, I don't consider that fiscal conservatism, and that's the biggest problem.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And House Minority Leader Brian Newberry, Republican of North Smithfield.
Thank you.